Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The right for your support, but nobody deserves it. That's your decision. And I was like, man, that's pretty prophetic, because he's right. You can't tell people what to do with their disposable income. You can't say you should do this, you should do that. You have to support the Memphis Tigers. You have to support the Memphis Grizzlies. You have to go out to some Redbirds games. No, you don't. You have to take care of you and your family first and what's most important to you. And so that's the uphill battle, not just the Grizzlies. I think every professional sports team, because you look around, brother, and I know you watch baseball. You look at baseball games, and there's a lot of empty seats. You look at some NFL football games, and those tickets may be sold, but a lot of those seats are more empty than they've been in the past.
Oh, yeah.
But now with the way you're consuming the NFL on TV, and the NFL kind of got wind, now more people may go, because it may be cheaper to go to 3 or 4 games and watch your favorite team on road games than it is to get the NFL package. So, I don't know, man. I wish I had the answers. I wish I could have speculated the financial situation right now, because you and I would be playing golf nice golf course in a really nice part of the world just for laughs and giggles on our 37th hole, looking to make it another 9 in after 36 in the morning.
All right, my man. We appreciate it.
Did I just depress you with that thought?
Yeah, no, I did, because it's feels nice outside today, and like, how nice would it just be to, like, we just played 36.
Bro, it is nice out today, and it was nice out yesterday. I got to play with some great guys out at Memphis Basketball. Although I got to tell you, man, you listening to Writer Than Right trivia, I've got to think the people that are driving next to me think I'm an absolute idiot, because today on the Yahtzee question, I am screaming at the radio as you're doing it in your head. I'm like, dude, they have Full House, 4 of a kind, 3 of a kind.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if there were 6, though. I was in between 5 and 6.
Yeah, I knew you were. I knew exactly.
Because couldn't remember if you could throw one out. Like, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. No, I knew where you were going. And then what was your last question?
Oh, it's the worst. Cobb, I missed. It was a Honda Passport, a car that my wife owns.
Oh, my God. And the best part about it is his wife has the car, so she texts him and said it's a Honda Passport, you idiot.
Yeah. Thanks,
Honda. You don't know what car your wife drives?
It's one of those ones where
she has a Honda too.
It's one of those ones where I know it's a Honda Passport, but like, I was trying to go through Honda's entire product line on my, like, in my head. Like, I even said, it's like, well, they have the Pilot, the CRV, the one my wife owns, but I can't remember the name of, like, and sure enough,
and
that was the answer.
That, I was like, oh, that's going to be the one.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
no, it was, and the clue, I focused too much. I should have just focused on the clue. The clue would have been like, if you knew the answer was like, the government gives you this for $160, it's like, it's a passport. I should have just focused on that.
Well, see, and I thought when he first said it, because they said government book, and I was like, government book?
Yeah,
it's a book lit. It's not a book. So when he said book, I was like, an atlas is not.
Yeah, and then I was like thinking like civic. I was like civic. Yeah. Like, did like the government used to give out civics?
What was the guy's answer? Because I had that one.
His was the Plymouth Voyager, which I wish it would have been, because my mom had a Chrysler Town and Country, and the Plymouth was the other whatever, you know, like they were all made on the same assembly line. They just stamped them with different logos.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Even the great ones got to take an L sometime, brother.
This one stung.
Bounce back next Thursday.
Yeah, it stung. All right, my man.
All right, brother. See ya.
That is Eric Hasseltine. When we come back, let's get into the list. We got the Tiger non-conference schedule. It has been released. The SEC is considering going to 9 games. Cobb's got his most overrated 10 college football teams of the last decade. We'll talk about that. And Jason Smith coming up during hour number 2. Stick around. This is Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called the list. Let's fire it up. The Southeastern Conference. Yeah, according to Ross Dellinger, Cobb, in meetings this week, so we had the it was the AD meetings with Sankey. I don't know if they're virtual or in person, but I know they were supposed to meet this week. SEC executives moved closer to adopting a 9-game conference football schedule, sources told Yahoo Sports. A decision remains with presidents who are expected to meet soon on the issue. According to Ross, momentum for a 9-game schedule grew this spring, coinciding with the emergence of the 4-4-2-2-1 CFP format. It seemed to fade after coaches rejected the format. However, combined with added ESPN money and to potentially ease CFP talks, the SEC leaders are inching closer to adopting 9. According to a previous model of a 9-game conference schedule, a debate the league has had now for years, I feel like Saban brought this up in like 09. Like, I feel like this has been around for 16 years. Each SEC school would play 3 permanent opponents and 6 rotating each season. If the SEC decides to move to a 9-game schedule, ACC leaders have said that it would follow suit, a move that puts all Power Four conferences at 9-game league schedules. This may expedite discussions around future CFP. Okay, so Cobb, I know your initial reaction was, well, this doesn't seem to be a coincidence with yesterday's announcement about the new metrics that will be used for the playoff committee. I am a little woke on it. I think it was, ESPN upped the price for a game.
Hey, if whatever it takes, man, I think it could be a confluence of factors. Also, just like let the angels sing, man. Like it has been way belated that the SEC actually look at going to 9 games. This thing is needed to get done 10 years ago. At a time when we're talking about pricing casual fans out, you're still continuing to trot out 4 games a season against inferior, lackluster opposition. No, give us another conference game. Give us another opportunity to go and see a competitive game against something like a rival school. So going to 9 games does that. Yeah, I think definitely the fact that the college football playoff is going to more heavily weight strength of schedule certainly has something to do with it. Yeah, you're also probably spot on with your assessment that they had to get something from ESPN to justify this.
So I do know back in the spring, I want to say it was roughly $2.5 million additionally from ESPN. And I knew when that was the number, I was like, man, they're not going to do that because they're not going to make enough to where the coaches were going to risk the loss. That's why I think that deal was sweetened significantly.
Yeah, so sweeten that deal, reward them for playing better competition, and then, oh yeah, by the way, like the Big Ten is out here trotting out just absolutely absurd playoff proposals. So maybe you give yourself more leverage in those discussions if you say, hey, look, guys, we're going to play 9 conference games. Let us decide how to do the playoff.
Do you like 24 teams or 28 better?
Oh, God. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, that I will say, like, I said this on Monday. There are certain moments when the reaction from people pleasantly surprises you. I use the example, do you remember when Coco Gauff won the French Open and then they gave the mic to Sabalenka right afterwards and like she went off like, I played terribly today. Like Coco wouldn't even have beaten Iga, who I beat in the semifinals, like just going off. They gave the mic to a hot athlete who blew a major championship and she apologized profusely. Coco accepted the apology. Everybody moved on, and then we didn't make it into like this think piece moment in time when everyone had to fire off some type of societal take. Like we were able to just sit there and go, "Hey, an athlete was hot. She ran her mouth off. She shouldn't have said what she said. She apologized. Coco accepted the apology. We moved on." Like everyone was kind of normal. When I saw Saturday that everyone was like, "What the hell are we doing?" I was like, "Cool. I do think fans have a little bit more power than maybe we give ourselves credit. The problem is when you contrast it with an issue like what the Grizzlies are facing, it's like, well, they kind of have the power right now because there's not a lease.
Yeah, so the reaction to 24 or 28 for the playoff was about as intense as it was for NCAA tournament expansion.
Yeah.
It was very,
another good example. Whenever, like, they keep trying to railroad tournament expansion, we're all like, we don't want it.
Yeah, they're the customers. They're the customers in the business. And I think most of the customers do want another conference game. And also, I mean, to your point on the Grizzlies, like, yeah, Grizzlies fans, they don't have the full say in like the future here because the city has to pull its weight. The franchise has to do its part. There's got to be some wealthy benefactors who step up to the plate and some third party organizations that put it all together. But the fans do have a large say in whether or not they choose to attend the games.
Yeah, no, they do. That's expensive.
No, it is. But in terms of a trial balloon with what the Big Ten did, why did they choose to put this out on a Saturday? And then also, if that was a trial balloon, I've never seen one get shot down to earth so quickly.
It was one of those ones where I was like, I don't even know like what they're doing. Like, because there have been other moves that they've made where I was like, all right, that's a leverage point to try and get the SEC to play 9 games. Because it seemed like to me all along that's what they wanted. Fine, so be it. It's like, how on earth was that going to motivate anyone?
Yeah, I don't know. It just felt like another blunder for that conference. A conference that was quick on the trigger to try and cancel football during COVID. A conference that has basically made a fool of itself with this whole Michigan situation. And, you know, I mean, so the Big Ten, yeah, they've won 2 consecutive national titles, but it feels like they are just totally aimless when it comes to actually shaping the direction of college sports. So I would actually, like, for as villainous as Greg Sankey can be sometimes, I would much prefer for him to be in the driver's seat on these CFP discussions. And I think you give yourself more credibility to do that when you're playing 9 league games. So I think the SEC is coming out of this looking pretty good.
I was also thinking about this because I agree with you. Like, I also think Sankey, part of why he gets paid what he gets paid is he's kind of in the heat position. I also think, like, when you actually take a step back and you look at everything that's happened, he doesn't have as nearly the amount of power as, like, the reputation is. Like, he's not this puppet master. If he were, let me tell you what would have happened. They would be playing 9 games a long time ago. I also think that they probably would have gone along with the 4-4, whatever, the soccer formation playoff expansion. But I was also thinking about this. Is it clear to you that a 16-team playoff is better than a 12-team playoff?
Oh, not at all. I just want us to give this 12-team format a little time to breathe. Give it 5 or 6 years of runway before you rip the whole thing up. I mean, we gave 4 a whole decade.
Yeah, but they weren't on the hook for what, 30? What was the settlement? The House settlement? So, what are they on the hook for?
Okay, I get that. Like, you got to find money anywhere you can now.
And that's why I actually think that's what actually aggravates me the most is I don't mind change if it's like, hey, this isn't working, let's change this. But when it's so obviously just a money grab and you're just trying to create a different television product so that you can sell another TV deal, that's not competition.
I mean, college fans are just gonna have whiplash at this point over, oh wait, what is the postseason format anymore? Like, it's ridiculous because we went from the AP deciding our champions to the BCS to a 4-team to a 12-team. We're gonna have that for 2 years, then we're gonna go to 16. Maybe if the Big Ten gets its way, we'll go to, you know, 24-28. I don't know. Eventually, you just start to, I think, lose some of the casual fans who don't even remember how the champion is decided anymore. And at that point, like, you're hurting your business more than you're helping it. So, like, the practical steps that you can take to building revenue right now are, yeah, the SEC can go to 9 games. The SEC and the Big Ten could form a scheduling agreement where teams from those conferences play each other out of league every year. You want to keep more money in your pockets on campus? Quit playing these stupid neutral site games and give your fans another home game for which to buy a season ticket package.
By the way, also fans, get ready. SEC fans, get ready. You thought ticket prices went up just to support NIL. they're adding that ninth conference game. That season ticket package is going up as well.
But honestly, like, worth it. If you're going to give
at
me
least, yeah,
game,
I think most people would say I'd rather pay for at least a better game
than to have a FCS opponent or a Sun Belt team on there. I mean, everybody's just so over that. It's the one good thing for those games is that it gives you a good opportunity to like take your kid for the first time. Like the first game that I ever went to, I was 6 years old, and we got to go to Neyland for Tennessee UAB, and Tennessee won 37-13, and it was by no means an electric environment relative to Neyland Stadium standards. But when you're 6 years old, you go for the first time, like that's an easy opportunity, yeah, you know, for your family to get out and go to a game. I mean, but we'll still have that, even if there's only three cupcakes instead of four. Like
you rest assured. Listen, we are not gonna hurt that FCS ecosystem. You know, we're gonna take care of that FCS ecosystem. David W. Cobb. All right, Cobb, over at CBSSports.com, you have listed the 10 most overrated programs, overhyped teams over the last decade. So when we say the last decade, are we talking from 2020 on, or are we saying from 2015 on? Are we saying the last 10 years?
Previous 10 seasons.
All right.
So 2015 through 2024, the 10 most overrated programs in college football.
All right, walk me through your methodology.
So I included a lot of, because, okay, look, like you can't just look at this isn't underperforming or like bad teams. It's not who are the 10 worst teams. It's who are the 10 that underperformed relative to their brand, relative to what they invested, relative to how well they recruited, right? So I looked at your average final ranking in the 24/7 sports team recruiting rankings over the last 10 years. I looked at your average head coach's salary. I looked at your record versus top 10 opponents, your overall record, your number of losing seasons. You know, so a lot of factors there. And when you shake it all up, man, I don't think there's any other option but Texas A&M as your number one most overrated program of the past decade. I mean, you going into the decade, going into 2015, they had momentum. They were coming off of Johnny Football's Heisman Trophy. They had this $484 million stadium renovation. Kevin Sumlin looked like he might be the next big thing as a head coach. They were in the SEC. And then they just continue to invest and continue to fall flat. So, yeah, their record is actually not horrible, but relative to what everybody always anticipated or expected from A&M, it was pretty clear to me they're the most overrated team of the decade.
Okay, so you did not factor in, because the only thing I would have said is, should we have factored in preseason rankings?
Well, I didn't actually like list it out here, but no, I did. You know, I looked at those things. Like, for example, like North Carolina, not necessarily preseason rankings, but like they made the top 15 at some point in five of the last nine seasons. They had, you know, Drake May and Sam Howell at quarterback. Yet they only finished ranked once in the last nine seasons. So, you know, yeah, it was like, all right, what were you expected to do versus what you did? That was certainly part of it, because A&M, man, like there were some years there where they were projected or preseason ranked to be, you know, top 20 type of team, and they pretty much always fell short.
No, I mean, I do feel like they are definitely the contenders for like every year's preseason national champion. And honestly, national champion is probably a stretch, but like everyone always talks themselves into Texas A&M for exactly what you listed out. The rosters. Usually almost every single year you look at the roster, you're like, damn, they got talent. But, like, I was just thinking about, like, in the top of my head, so for those curious, Cobb list A&M 1, Nebraska 2, Auburn 3, Florida, he went into the state of Florida to round out the top 5, Florida State 4, Florida 5, USC 6, Carolina 7, Miami 8, Texas 9, and he finishes with the Vols at 10. The only thing I would ask you is, I think if we did this list in 2010, I would get Nebraska being 2, but haven't we all as a society moved on from Nebraska? Like, I don't think we have expectations of them.
Well, I mean, that's fair. That's the only reason why they weren't number 1. I mean, because they've been woefully worse than Texas A&M. It's just the expectations have been far lower. So, like, you know, my kind of closing line on Nebraska was that there's never been a season when true greatness was expected over the past 10 years, but they've failed to even reach competence. I mean, last year was the first time in 8 years that they even made a bowl game. But it's not like they haven't tried. Like, they have tried to get back. They have tried to be good, tried to be relevant. We never really expected them to compete. compete at the highest level, but they couldn't even make bowl games when they were sinking money into the program and being lauded for hiring Scott Frost. I think part of it too is the fact that they just kicked Bo Pelini to the curb.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, winning 9 or 10 games, that's not good enough for us. Get out of here, Bo Pelini. And then they've not gotten back to even that standard.
One of my best friends when I was working at ConAgra, because ConAgra's headquartered in Omaha, he's from Omaha and he's a diehard Nebraska fan. And he just like sadly called me like at the end of Scott Frost. We're like, before he was fired, but when he knew it was over, he goes, maybe Bo was right. Maybe like 9 wins is kind of like the ceiling.
Yeah, it was. I honestly, like, I stand by everything in here. This has been a pretty well-read story today. I've actually not heard like a lot of outrage about it, because I think some of these programs just kind of have to acknowledge that, like, yeah, we've tried to be good and we've continued to stink. Like, some people might say, well, why didn't you have South Carolina on here? They haven't had a 10-win season in the past decade. But yeah, but it's South Carolina. I mean, what do we really expect from South Carolina? They've been better than Nebraska. They've made their share of bowl games. They've had their moments here or there. But, like, you know, most people don't expect South Carolina to be a top half of the SEC team year in, year out. Whereas I think every team on this list, the standard is, yeah, you're not just going to be top half of your league, but you're going to be competing for titles.
The other thing I was noticing about this list, the Bayou Bengals really need to like hit their knees every single night and thank God for 2019.
Yeah.
That one team being arguably the greatest team I've ever seen. Like truly one of the most fun, like awesome football teams. It really covers over a lot of like hype teams that didn't deliver.
Yeah, it does. It does. I in no way could bring myself to put a team.
No, but if you want a title, who cares? It's all worth it.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Who? And like, I think Auburn might have somewhat of a gripe, but their title, I mean, their title came before, you know, this time frame. So, you know, the first 8 on here haven't even been to the CFP yet. And
no, the only other one I would push back is I think you got SC too low.
Yeah.
But
you'd have had a SC like 2 or 3.
Yeah, but I would have also done it a little differently than you. I think what I would have just done was like, all right, where did everybody, because it's all methodology to me. The way I had it in my head was, where was everybody average starting in a preseason poll? And yeah, SC leads the league in preseason expectations and then not delivering.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. They did. I mean, they never really all the way bottomed out under Clay Helton.
No.
They just failed to be what USC is supposed to be. And that's continued now under Lincoln Riley. I mean, they did. They were 11-2 going to the Pac-12 championship game and that Caleb Williams season. But I mean, outside of that, it's, you know, it's just been a lot of.
No, I think they weren't they 11-1 and then they lost.
Yeah, they were 11-1.
Yeah, I think they were 11-1, but they lost to Utah and they got absolutely destroyed, and that kept them out of the 4-teamer. But also it's like, Lincoln, without a number one pick at quarterback, how you doing, buddy? How you doing? All right, instead of going through the Tiger schedule, let's do that with Jason Smith. Let's go through it. We've got the Tiger regular, or I beg your pardon, we have the Tiger non-conference full schedule. So we'll go through that. We'll talk about it with Jason Smith next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
99FM ESPN. Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 99FM ESPN from 11 until 2. You can follow him on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, when you heard Ed Scott yesterday say basketball pays the bills, but football has to be the future. What do you think that actually looks like?
Probably. I mean, I don't think there's any probably to it. I just think in terms of, level of investment because of where you feel like, the ceiling is. You look at your history and where you have invested, which is in basketball. And the fact is that, it hasn't returned an invite. And certainly in that we know that football drives these talks in terms of realignment and Memphis's chances of getting out. It certainly doesn't cement anything, but it drives it. And so, we've been operating sort of, going against the grain. And when I say we, I'm speaking obviously as a Memphis graduate, but anybody who's covered that athletic department, you know the story. You've been operating against the grain in terms of the way college athletic works for decades. And I mean, for basically your athletic department's history, and at a time where more crucial than ever, and especially as we get set for, I know at one point for Dan Walken had written, I mean, this we're talking about, and Cobb knows it better than anybody, seismic changes probably in 2030. You want to try something that you haven't, which is getting football out front. If that means getting Ryan Silverfield more in NIL, the most in the, group of five, soon to be group of six, then you go do it, because what that means on that side is not just a, maybe like a Sweet 16 appearance, but we're talking a college football playoff appearance, which, again, if we're talking what it could do for your brand, you want that to be the headlines when these doors, theoretically open again, if they ever do for Memphis. And so, no, it looks like more investment on the football side. Keep in mind, too, I mean, just the mathematics of it all. You own that building now, or at least you have control of that building. I mean, part of, getting events in there are now your responsibility. And obviously, Tiger football, in terms of product that you can put out there, in your building now, it's got the highest ceiling. And so with the level of investment, with what it can do with that investment, which should be appearing in conference championships regularly and winning the conference fairly regularly. No, I get it, Jeffrey. And I just think it's the point in Memphis athletics where you can't afford to stick with what you've done. You don't have a choice at this point, particularly with the level of investment you got going right now in football. Everything that's you've already got hit, all the momentum that you've seemingly got in terms of the investment. Now you got to cash it in, turn it into conference titles, and see what that can do for your brand.
And Memphis is not alone among this group of so-called basketball schools that are going pretty hard on the football front right now. I mean, you look at Indiana is actually paying for football players. Kansas just finished a new football stadium. North Carolina hired Bill Belichick, for crying out loud.
Duke just bought a quarterback for $4 million.
So Memphis is not alone in that front. Jason, I mean, what's your take on Ed Scott's leadership? I've watched a lot of clips of him now. I know people might want to maybe unfairly ding him for the fact that they were rejected by the Big 12, but I remain impressed whenever I hear him speak. He seems to have a really solid command, not just of the business side of it, but of the dynamics of like internal working relationships. And when I hear him talk about the way he navigates those relationships with his coaches and the give and take there, I think he's got a pretty good grasp on what he's got to give those programs and those coaches to as he says, eliminate their excuses for why they can't get it done.
No, listen, I think if you're trying to hold Memphis's, you know, frankly, the fact that they're still in the same position against him, you know, this offer that they made that obviously didn't even get to a vote, and he's admitted, he said it, that it was embarrassing to get to that point, then are we just dismissing the fact that he had put together, I think, what was it? Was it Dellinger? I think it was Dellinger that broke the story. I mean, we're talking about what he called a historic landmark-type deal between $200 and $250 million, whatever it's going to end up being, in terms of for the Big 12. We'd never seen that before, and again, comparable to what SMU had done, you could make the case that it was a sweeter deal in terms of what the conference did, because you could boot them out after the five. It was free money you were offering, and I don't see how, and you'd have to throw the president in as well. Bill Hargrave had been meeting with, you know, with Big 12 officials, presidents, whatever, for the last 12, 14 months, whatever it was that was reported there. But I don't, you can't, because yes, it was, you know, you could say bad optically that the offer got out, it never got to a vote. Your AD has said it was embarrassing, but to put that together the way they did, to Jeffrey's touch on, to get Lowe's involved, it wasn't just FedEx, which everybody is always associated with sort of, okay, well, that's going to be Memphis's way, right? They're going to pay them. It's always going to be FedEx. They had come to the table with new money, bringing Lowe's to the table. And so I think in the end, you have to give him all the credit in the world, him and Hargrave, for, again, the action, trying to be proactive here, trying to, because Ed Scott came and he said it as simply as this: they got to get in the Big 12 or the ACC, you know? And I mean, he stated that openly. And been knowing that, again, the future of Memphis athletics probably depends on it if you're going to continue to play at a big boy level. You know, that crossroads is coming up now, that crossroads where you say, okay, are we going to keep banking on basketball? Because we just gave them a top 25. I keep going. We just gave them a top 25 team for most of the year that was a five seed in the tournament in a building that we do not control, and we only had 6,500 butts in seats. Can we keep going down that road, you know? Ed Scott, back to the point, let's go back to what he did with the Pac-12. He spelled out the math and said that's why this is a bad deal. Well, in terms of basketball, if you're putting together nationally ranked Memphis basketball teams and you're coming to a point where you've only got 6,500 actual butts in seats, the math there don't add up in terms of continuing to be the future of your program. You add that up with realignment, with, frankly, how close you are, it feels like, with Memphis football. Like, it just would have taken a couple of more stops against UTSA last year. Maybe it's against Navy, but point being, you're in that conference championship game. You're maybe winning it. No, you're not beating out Boise State for the college football playoff, like many had picked you to be, you know, the representative last year. But you're right there in the running. And just being in the talk, can, again, you think back to 19 when this thing had game day and it was buzzing? You know, that's where you have to be right now with the level of investment. So, no, man, I think for the most part, again, Ed Scott has done a pretty good job so far of trying to get Memphis to the promised land. And listen, this was something they were doing long before him, and are probably, you know, if he can't get them, they're going to be trying to do long after. That has always been the charge of the AD, but we know, you know, it's the presidents and the TV execs in the end that are, you know, have more of the call here.
I wish the city leaders could put together a $200 million plan to you know, build some stuff.
Oh, and to tell me about it. I know. It wouldn't be if it was that easy, right? If you could do it that easy. But no, I thought it was and you could look at that and say, well, how could they not have known after that long? You know, Hargrave apparently had been working about this for over a year, and you know Memphis's history and how it had been. It wasn't even in line, you know, last time they bit, you know, last time they looked at you. You know, they haven't really ever taken you seriously, and so you go in there knowing the history, and you're trying to convince all those presidents that it's different this time, and to have that. You know, to have that one say that, well, what's changed? Nothing since we last vetted them. You know, we've discussed this before. Don't need to adjudicate it again. But just feels like, man, you know, that's the part that you hate. It just feels like we were fooled again. But what I won't fault them for is for the effort here. I think it was a gargantuan effort. Just didn't get you where you wanted to be. They're not done trying though.
All right, the non-conference schedule is out, Jason, in all of its glory. It's official. You got 13 non-conference games on here. Only three are against teams that finished outside the top 100 of the net last season. So this thing is
– Now, they finished
loaded.
Well outside the top 100.
they did. You got to have a couple patsies on
there, though. They have nothing in between – 100 and 215.
But what stands out to me, honestly, is that the three games that we speak of that are against poor opposition, that, I mean, they don't even start until 3 weeks into the season. So you're going out of the gate against San Francisco, at Ole Miss, and then UNLV. I mean, obviously, you don't associate San Francisco and UNLV with being premier programs, but like, the point is, like, you're going to have to be ready to play immediately if you want to avoid taking an L there in the first three before you go to the Bahamas.
I mean, you got to have, you know, I guess you got to have some bye games in there. And keep in mind, two of them, one of them's against his, you know, his former assistant coach, former Tiger, Tony Madlock. That's a deal where you're helping out Tony as much as anything. The other one, New Orleans, is where Tim Duncan was formerly AD. So, and again, you know, some relationships there, but also, I mean, you've got to have some padding in here because it's comparable. If we're looking at it by NCAA tournament teams, I think last year they ended up facing 7 out of the 13. This year, at least for what Lenardi's got right now, Cobb, you'd probably have it too. It looks like no fewer than 6, at least right now, from what Lenardi had in his last bracket. And again, we're looking forward ahead to this season, but this last bracket, I think, had 6 teams from this 13 in the tournament. So it's comparable to last year's, which was fourth toughest non-conference schedule in the country. It's what Penny Hardaway has to do because he gets no opportunities in conference, so few opportunities in conference for quality wins. You know, that Utah State game there at the end where that's in the middle, it's after you've started conference play, is different. And again, you know, that's one where it's kind of a throwback. You know, Memphis used to do this with Gonzaga. You know, when Gonzaga needed a game like this in the same way that Memphis did, that they've since moved on, obviously, from that. But it would be that break, you know, a quality opponent in the middle of a vast wasteland of just, you know, landmines. Games where you don't get anything if you win. We saw it all year last year, and it kills you if you lose. Frankly, if you're not beating their heads in and beating them by double digits, you know, look at what it's doing to your analytics. You know, you're not moving up in terms of the numbers analytically. And so, no, for all those reasons, Penny has to do it this way year after year. And so, yeah, to have 6 on there, you really helped the home schedule portion of this. Thank you, Scott Drew, who's willing to play anybody anywhere, and that's been his thing for a while. He did it last year. They went to UConn, played Tennessee. I mean, having him come here really, I think, just in terms of pop. Yeah, you got Josh Pastner coming back to San Francisco's coming. The problem is Ole Miss and Mississippi State, which I think were your two highest attended games last year at FedEx Forum, both on the road. And so to have that Baylor game on that home schedule, you've also got Vandy here. You know, those will be games where obviously that you're expecting in terms of the home portion of this to be probably the most attended games of the season, you know, right there with that Arkansas exhibition perhaps. So, this is what Penny has to do every year. It's amazing that he was able to put together something that resembles last year because not everybody wants to play you. But for the most part, Penny's and I think we see it now, you know, even in the Louisville series, they look at Penny and the program he's built and said, you know what, that's not a game that if we lose it, it's going to kill us. Right, it's going to drag us down. It'll be some quad 3 loss. No, not against Memphis, not where Penny has it. And so he's been able to do this year after year when he needs to, being in this AAC where you've just got nothing. I mean, you can't even look at UAB right now, Cobb, and say, okay, well, that's a, you know, you'd hope with any, you know, you'd hope you'd be able to look at them and say, okay, that'll be a perennial tournament team. Maybe you can call it a 2-bit league. Can't even do that right now. But I think, I can't remember if it was North Texas, South Florida, who right now is the second best or right there, but it's just,
yeah,
it's not even
I'm pretty high on USF, Jason. South Florida,
that's the one. I think Torvik had them high, and you're high on them as well. And I know in this transfer portal age, I mean, you can flip it quick, but you know, it is not what you do not have. I mean, just so recently is, you know, having a Houston that's right there that you could depend on, you know, both games. In this case, you're talking about a top 10 opponent. You know, you don't have that. You don't have FAU. Even with Dusty May, I'm praying South Florida's good, Cobb, because they could use anything in there. But no, this is why you have to go as gung ho as you do on the non-con, and this one looks pretty comparable last year. Maybe as a top 10 in terms of strength of schedule, strength from non-conference schedule, looks like it could be another top 10 ranked outfit here.
What do you think in your mind? Because I mean, obviously, we're having to project whether or not we think these teams are good, but what do you think is going to be kind of the pass-fail for the non-conference? Like, what's that mark of this is a passing grade, this is a failing grade in terms of this non-conference schedule for the Tigers?
I mean, last year they go 10-3. To think they're going to do that again when you're essentially flipping an entire roster again, it seems pretty far-fetched. So I think I had put the number at 8.5 this morning, Jeffrey. We didn't end up doing the over-under.
Yeah.
But if I can go 8-5 against this, I'll probably take it. Now, what I'm not getting is a 5 seed. I'm not getting that again, you know, this year with if I'm going 8-5. But you know, frankly, John counted down to 7-6 he'd take. With this 13, I'm not going to say failure if you go 7-6, but I think you want to hit 8-5 because if you're talking about trying, if the ceiling this year is an 8 or 9 seed, which is something you'd always been trying to play yourself out of, but I've seen it. Lenardi's had you as an 11 with this schedule, with what we know about how bad the AAC is. Ceiling might be 8 or 9. I probably need 8 of those 13. I'm a little depending upon who those 7 wins would have come against. I'm getting in a little dangerous territory there. So give me 8-5. If I had to take it out, you know, I'm sure 7-6 would include some quality because there's very little in terms of softness, you know, in between here with the 3 bye games.
All right, Jason, we appreciate it, my man.
Y'all take care.
That is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb. I thought about for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, going with Urban Meyer, who's saying that the NFL should suspend Jim Harbaugh because he got violations in college. It's like, hey, buddy, what about when you had murderers on your team? Should the NFL suspended you there? Or no, you just got the Jags gig. But let's go to our boy Joe Milton. So he was asked today about whether or not he throws the ball too hard. I'm literally not throwing the ball hard. It just comes off my hand like that. I was born and blessed that way. So I feel like if you think I'm throwing the ball hard, then you shouldn't be in the NFL getting paid. I like that. I'm not throwing it too hard. They should just catch it.
My man needs to be a baseball closer. That's what Joe Milton's true calling was, being a closer in baseball.
God, is it fun to watch him throw, though.
Boy, you know, Tennessee fans sure have themselves whipped up into a frenzy when he threw an orange after the Orange Bowl.
Well, what about the post pattern in the Orange Bowl? Remember where everybody thought, oh, he sailed it over the receiver by like 10 yards, and then no, it's just like he threw a dime. You didn't see the receiver in the picture.
There is no hype like Joe Milton hype. God. 10 years from now, Jeffrey, there's going to be some GM out there
still believes.
Who talks themselves into it.
Yeah. Still believes. All right, my man, have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks, brother.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.